Almost three summers ago, I stood with my fellow classmates and pilgrims at the top of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. For our class at St. George's College in Jerusalem, this was the day that we were going to retrace the steps that Jesus took his final week of his life here on earth. We started our day at one of the sites where tradition has it the disciples obtained the donkey or colt Jesus rode upon during his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the events of which we recalled out in the courtyard at the beginning of our service this morning. Like many of the sites mentioned in the Bible, the exact location of Bethphage has been lost with time. But place is important. So since pilgrims like us have been coming to Jerusalem for almost 1,700 years, long ago, the people made their best estimate of where villages like Bethphage were located and built churches and shrines as the means of marking the significance of the place in our story. So we began our march into Jerusalem that morning at its traditional place and now had reached the Mount of Olives, the summit, and looked downward and to the west at the old city of Jerusalem stretched in front of us with the Temple Mount prominently lying ahead. As we walked down the cobblestone road, I reflected on that day 2,000 years ago, picturing the people lined up on either side of the road, waving their palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Peace in heaven and glory in the highest! Hosanna!" And then I stumbled. Deeply wrapped up in my imagining of the events of the original Palm Sunday, I failed to pay attention to the fact we were descending a slope. For the Mount of Olives is indeed a mount, with a deliberate downward slope descending all the way down to the Kidron Valley, which separates the Garden of Gethsemane from the walls of the old city of Jerusalem in the Temple Mount. It is a downward movement that is hard to miss. But I missed it for a moment when I had spiritually teleported myself 2,000 years earlier. I am probably not the only one who stumbles when confronted with the events of the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. Many of us seem to miss the downward trajectory of the life of Jesus. How the Son of God, the Word become flesh, first emptied himself, as Paul describes it in our reading from Philippians. He emptied himself of his glory and became like a slave, a servant. For that's what it's like for God to become a human being. And God, in the form of Jesus of Nazareth, didn't enter a life as a significant human being, no. God became a poor human being, born into poverty and not wealth, having no privilege or power of position in his society. He emptied himself. And Jesus continued to empty himself throughout his short life here on earth, teaching and wandering the Galilean countryside, homeless and with no daily guarantee of food or drink, until he entered Jerusalem where his teaching threatened those in power, and he was arrested, suffered torture, and was killed by crucifixion, the ancient means of inflicting a painful death. I think we frequently stumble over or miss that Jesus modeled a downward direction in life. And this downward movement is the way of the cross that Jesus speaks of when he says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." There are some of us some Christians who miss this downward direction, miss that when we are called to follow Jesus, we are called to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus wherever he goes. We will face suffering and loss in our lives. Being human almost guarantees that fact at some point or other. But this downward movement was lived by Jesus. And when we willingly take up our cross, we willingly accept our humanity, we can know the comfort of the presence of Jesus Christ, the one who lived as we now live, as we make the inevitable dyings and risings that are a part of being human. It is hard to accept this downward movement is a normal part of life, a normal aspect of our faith. It is particularly hard for us Americans, isn't it, a breed of people who are born into a can-do, upwardly mobile culture, a culture that was birthed when our forebears first carved this country out of the wilderness hundreds of years ago. This can-do, positive thinking culture has even come up with its own version of the gospel of Jesus Christ, known as the prosperity gospel. The rise of the uniquely American prosperity gospel takes this downward movement of Jesus and turns it on its head. For these Christians, there is no cross to bear, no illness, no financial crisis, no deprivation. As Kate Bowler writes, the prosperity gospel is the belief that God grants health and wealth to those with the right kind of faith. This, my friends, is an exchange-based faith. This places the follower of Jesus in control rather than God. The follower who has the power to live right, pray right, have the right faith so that they can receive blessings, mostly material and financial, blessings from God. I don't know about you, but I struggle daily with trying to live right. But yet, I'm still blessed by God. Blessed with God's presence. Blessed with God's mercy. Blessed with God's love. As people who are confronted with their cross sometimes ask me, why is this happening to me? I sometimes want to reply, why not you? Why do you think you get a pass on being human? Too often in our lives, we want to move from the triumphal entry that we celebrate this morning and go straight to Easter Sunday and resurrection. We have the tendency to try to skip the rest of Holy Week and not traverse the Maundy Thursdays and Good Fridays of our lives. So come join us this week. Join us as we retrace the culmination of Jesus' downward movement. Come to Maundy Thursday, whether you participate in the foot washing or not, for there you will experience Eucharist and the altar being stripped item by item of all that is beautiful and lovely to symbolize the abandonment of Jesus by his friends and his final downward movement toward the cross and grave. Through this, we also confront the starkness of life without Jesus Christ. Come to Good Friday and be reminded of Jesus' deep love and faith. Faith in knowing that from pain and death comes life, a message that needs to sink deeply into our souls. For Easter is coming. It always does. In every facet of our lives. Thanks be to God. Standing, let us affirm our faith in the triune God through the words of the Nicene Creed on page 358. The Book of Common Prayer. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,